Welcome back to KSRM Sound Off, 10:07 on a gorgeous and getting better looking by the minute Tuesday morning. Temperature outside our studio headquarters, 54 degrees and climbing. It is another gorgeous day. Last day of June. Already June behind us. Tomorrow is July. Can't wait. Summer 2020. 283-5811 is our phone number. Thank you to Dr. Al Gross being with us in hour number two. We're going to go from federal politics, jumping right back into state politics. Ladies and gentlemen, a couple of weeks ago on Wisdom Wednesday, we had the privilege of having guest Paul Seaton here with us on Alaska's Fair Share Act initiative. Today, we are joined via a series of the magic of series of tubes with Robin Brenna. He is no stranger to initiatives or state politics. Good morning, Mr. Brenna, and welcome to KSRM's Sound Off.
Good morning, Duane. It's my pleasure to be here.
I'm glad that you are with us this morning. Mr. Brenna, if you will take a moment or two, first off, introduce yourself to the listeners here at KSRM.
Well, my name's Robin Brenna. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I grew up in Skagway. I went to school and got an MBA and a law degree and a master's in law degree in real estate finance and development law. Came back to the state I loved and went to work. Started my own law firm, and that law firm is now Brenna Bell and Walker, and been engaged in oil and gas issues for over 30 years. One of the three original sponsors for the Fair Share Act.
Walker, as in our Governor Walker?
Yes.
Huh. I thought he was in Boston or something like that.
Yeah, he went back to Boston to teach a class at Harvard, and then it got, of course, COVID happened. So, but yes, Governor Walker, it's my pleasure to have him in our firm.
Tell the governor that Duane and Keene, I said hello, please.
Okay, I'll do that.
Already the things I'm learning here. Mr. Brenna, we've invited you on. You are one of the prime sponsors of the initiative, Alaska's Fair Share Act. Introduce us to that act, please.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have to tell Alaskans that Alaska's hurting. It's in a financial crisis. And since the current production tax system was put in place through Senate Bill 21, Alaska's been in an economic freefall. We've gone through $16 billion of our savings. Our PFDs have been cut to about a third of the statutory amount. University of Alaska's been gutted. Our education system and municipal support has been compromised. And before the pandemic, we lost 15,500 jobs in Alaska, and a third of all the jobs in the oil and gas industry. And that's what's happened under the Senate Bill 21 that passed. Before the pandemic, Alaska had the highest unemployment rates in the United States, and the other oil states, such as North Dakota and Texas, had among the lowest. North Dakota, I think, was the lowest unemployment rates. So we're basically giving away our oil today. So what the Fair Share Act is about, it's about trying to get back a fair share of our own oil for Alaska. And it has four major characteristics in it. First, it only applies to our largest and most profitable oil fields. And those are the oil fields that have been in operation for decades. They're high profit oil fields that should be paying their fair share to Alaskans, and they're not. It doesn't apply to new and developing fields, and so will not impact the business case or any new explorer that comes to Alaska. It increases Alaska's share of revenues from these three major fields by about $1 billion a year under normal circumstances. It limits the cost deductions from our share of these three major fields to the cost of producing oil from them. Currently, they take cost deductions from our major fields and reduce our share for all kinds of things that are completely unrelated to the field. And the last thing it does, and the very important thing that it does, is it requires the production tax filings on these three major fields to be public. It's the time's long overdue for Alaskans to know about how our own fields are performing financially. By taking a look at the actual production tax returns, we will know the revenues and the costs and the profits for each of the major producers from each of our three major fields. And that will allow Alaskans to be sure that whatever system we have in place going forward, that it's informed, and that Alaskans have the information they need to truly be stewards for hundreds of billions of dollars of oil resources in Alaska that do represent our future.
I love talking about math, and I love talking about dollar bills here. You mentioned $1 billion. What is Alaska earning today, just to reference the $1 billion in additional taxes?
Well, let me put this in context of how we've done since Senate Bill 21 passed. So we have five full fiscal years, and let me compare it to the five full fiscal years before Senate Bill 21 passed. So before Senate Bill 21 passed, for 5 years, we brought in net production revenues, we brought in $19 billion, $3.8 billion a year. Since Senate Bill 21 has passed, for the 5 years that it's been in effect, five full fiscal years it's been into effect, we have brought in zero. $19 billion for the 5 years before Senate Bill 21, and zero for the 5 years after in net production revenues. So that's been the decline as a result of Senate Bill 21 largely. The price of oil, which is often blamed for that, went down 35% from the first five-year period from before Senate Bill 21 to after Senate Bill 21. So the price of oil went down 35%, Alaska. Your net production taxes went down from $19 billion to zero. So we get less than any other major oil owner, resource owner in the world. To compare us, the two ways that we get our fair share, Duane, are through royalties that aren't a tax and through production taxes. And so we get 12.5% royalties, which is about half of what other states get. And then we have gotten zero for production taxes. So comparing us, say, for example, to North Dakota, North Dakota gets 18.7% average royalties, and they have a 10% production tax. They get 28.7% combined. Texas, for example, gets a 25% royalty and gets a 4.6 production tax. They get 29.6%. So Texas and North Dakota are getting about 30% of their gross revenues from the production of oil in those states, and we're getting 12.5%. We're getting about 43% of what Texans and North Dakotans are getting.
Let's draw a line, shall we? According to what I know about the state of Alaska's budget, I think we have budgeted roughly $1.3 billion in oil tax revenue. If it's not from production tax, where's that $1.3 billion coming from?
Royalties.
You said royalties weren't tax.
No, they aren't a tax. And the 1.3 is production revenues. It's not oil taxes. It's production. It is petroleum revenues from all sources. So what the other side does is throws in royalties, confuses royalties with taxes.
Okay, I'm just asking about the budget. I don't know if the budget has a side. I think I'm correct at 1.3. It sounds like you verified that. So right now, $1.3 million is what's budgeted for coming in from oil. Is that a true statement?
You're saying million, you mean billion.
I apologize. Yes, sir, I mean billion. Thank you for that.
I wish we were dealing with millions, Duane.
I skipped the second cup of coffee this morning. My apologies.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So right now, we used to get, let me put this in the comparative, we used to get $3.8 billion a year from our production.
Right.
From our production revenues from production taxes. Okay.
Yes, got that. For 5 years prior to Senate Bill 21, yes, we averaged $3.8 billion.
We get zero now. We've gotten zero for 5 years. Okay. So the sources of revenue that come into state government to support state government are not from production taxes. So that 3.8 billion a year to zero is why we have a deficit at all. What they refer to as petroleum revenues coming in are the share of the permanent earnings that come in, which is about $3 billion a year, which never used to come in at all, and then royalties, which is about $1.6 billion a year, which is not an oil tax at all. In terms of production taxes, for the last 5 years, we've gotten nothing. We've modeled like what would happen if instead of Senate Bill 21 passed in 2014 and went into effect in January 1 of 2014, we've modeled what would have happened if the Fair Share Act had been in effect. And what would have happened is that we would have averaged over the last 5 years $1.1 billion of production revenues. And that is essentially, I mean, we have a $500 million deficit today if we don't pay any dividends at all.
In fairness to that statement, let's go back to that time when Senate Bill 21 was passed. Fair Share Act, as we know it today, I don't think was authored. However, the question was keep ACEs or not. Have you done any financial comparisons at today's production and price levels had ACEs remained?
Yeah, ACEs outperformed Senate Bill 21. You sometimes hear the phrase that in very low price environments that Senate Bill 21 does better than ACEs. It did better than ACEs by $150 million for a couple of years when our oil prices were low. But the difference between ACEs and Senate Bill 21 is Senate Bill 21 does poor in low price environments, does poor in medium price environments, and does poor in high price environments. The minimum rate is way too low, and they eliminated all progressivity, so that as the price of oil goes up and producer profits go up, our share doesn't. It used to. So Senate Bill 21 eliminated the progressivity.
You sound like you're discounting, pardon the pun, the value of a barrel of oil on the global stage. What is the price of oil today?
I didn't check it today before I came on.
Round numbers.
The last time I checked it, ANS was running about $40 a barrel.
All right. And now let's go back to that five-year period that you spoke of where $3.8 billion was paid under ACEs. What was oil selling for then?
The last 5 years? Under Senate Bill 21, what has the price of oil been?
I apologize, sir. Prior to that, when you made reference to the $3.8 billion, was the 5 years prior to Senate Bill 21?
The price of oil was 35% higher on average than the 5 years since.
Okay. Is profit based on... Never mind. I need a chart to show that one. 283-5811 is our phone number. Robin Brenna, an expert on this initiative, because he's had a lot to do, if not all, to do with its authoring. Do you have a question for Robin Brenna? Pick up the phone. Give us a call at 283-5811. Right now, you're listening to KSRM Sound Off. Welcome back to KSRM Sound Off. 10:22 in the morning. It's your chance to sound off. It's your chance to ask a question to one of the authors of an initiative that will probably have more to do with the state budgeting than any group of legislators or governor this coming year. It is Tuesday Tie Day. That's why we play this song every Tuesday. I'm not a good-looking dude, but I do strive to be. A sharp-dressed man. 283-5811. That's our phone number. Mr. Brenna, I didn't ask where you were sequestered and calling us from. Where are you, sir?
I'm calling from my house, Dwayne. And let me say one more thing. Just before the break, we were comparing the prices of oil with how much we brought in. So let me be specific.
Please do.
Okay, in 2009, the average price of oil was $68.34. We collected under our production revenues $2.9 billion net. $2.9 billion net. Okay, in 2015, under Senate Bill 21, the price of oil was $72.58. It went up $4 or $5. And in 2015, under Senate Bill 21, our net production revenues were minus $200 million. In 2018, when the price of oil was $63.61, we brought in $300 million. And in 2019, when the price of oil was $69.46, we brought in $500 million. We went from $12 a barrel when the price of oil was equivalent down to $2 or $3 a barrel. We're getting about a sixth as much per barrel as we used to get when the price of oil is the same.
Other than the law change from to Senate Bill 21, so that's a pretty fair summation. I'll take it for truth that the numbers you just cited are accurate.
They're in the revenues book. I give you the sites if anybody wants to look them up.
Not going to challenge you on that at all. What else changed? What else changed in those years where we went from 2.9 billion to less than 800 million using the same pricing? What else changed in Alaska that dramatically changed those numbers?
Okay, there's only three things that happened that impact those numbers at all. The 5 years before where we got 19 billion and the 5 years after where we got nothing. Okay.
Thing one.
The major oil was able to spend tens of millions of dollars to convince Alaskans that we'd be better off for taking less for our oil. And they did it with promises that there'd be more investment, there would be more jobs, there'd be more production in TAPS, and ultimately there'd be more revenue for the state as a result of it. And not a single one of those representations is proven true.
You slid right past it, I think. How much investment has been done on the North Slope in these past 5 years?
Well, they were higher than the norm for the first 3 years, but that, you know, there's a lag in investment, right? You don't decide to come up with a project and spend the money the next year or two. So... But the last three years, which are more accurately reflecting what Senate Bill 21's impact on investment was, have been the lowest 3 years of investment on the North Slope in Alaska's history, the last 4 years.
Then what's driving the investment tax credit? Because isn't that why when you use that word net, the reason is because we had production taxes minus production tax credits equaled the net. What drove the production tax credits?
There isn't any level of investment that's necessary to be made in order to get the credit. It used to be under ACES, for example. Let me use Prudhoe Bay. Prudhoe Bay is the crown jewel of Alaska. If we get anything right of the Alaskans, we got to be sure we get a fair share from Prudhoe Bay. Before Senate Bill 21, the year before, there was $826 million invested of capital investment in Prudhoe Bay. The last two or three years, there's been $200 million, $230 million spent in Prudhoe Bay. So investment in Prudhoe Bay dropped to 25% of what it was under ACES, under Senate Bill 21. So it hasn't encouraged any investment because it's not linked to investment. ACES gave 20%.
Whoa. Production tax credits are not linked to investment?
No, they're linked to production. We are giving $750 million a year in $8 per revenue barrel credit for production from Prudhoe Bay when it has operated without any subsidies or credits for 3 decades with no subsidies or credits at all. We're giving away $750 million for oil produced from Prudhoe that would be produced anyway.
Sure, we agree on that, but correct me, Mr. Brenna. I'm under the impression that the tax credits are driven by investment cost, no different than if you spent money remodeling your law office, could be a write-offable expense off of the income you earn.
Yeah, there's two kinds of credits. I want to be sure that we're not confusing them. There's credits that they paid and credits that are deducted. Okay, the Prudhoe Bay credits, they deduct from their revenue, and it's based on production, and it has no link to investment whatsoever. So we're taking the production from Prudhoe, and we're taking it revenue barrels, so 87.5%. We're taking that times $8, and that, for example, in 2018, that was $744 million in credits we gave to Prudhoe, whether they spent a dollar in Alaska in capital spending or not. And what's happened with all that money? What's happened with all that money is it's going to increase the dividends of the major oil companies. ConocoPhillips has increased their dividend by 60% in the last 2 years. They've increased their stock repurchase program from $10 billion to $25 billion. They paid off about $14 billion of debt over the last 4 or 5 years.
Speaking what of, forgive me, sir. This is that clock thing that we're up against. I want to pick up this conversation on dividends and a whole lot more. Our special guest with us today, Robin Brenna, we're talking about the Alaska Fair Share Act, an initiative that you will have the opportunity to vote on in November. You're listening to KSRM. Welcome back to KSRM Sound Off 1037. It's another beautiful day. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. Our special guest with us, Robin Brenna. He is an attorney and one of the prime sponsors of an initiative that we will see this fall in November on the ballot. Vote yes. Nope. Let me get the right title here. Alaska's Fair Share is the name of the initiative. Jane, we're going to get to you in just a moment. Listeners, important notice, at 5 o'clock today, right here on KSRM, we will be airing live Governor Mike Dunleavy's presser tonight at 5 o'clock, right here on the 1-283-5811. Mr. Brenna, thank you. Number one, please accept my apology for having to cut you off midstream there.
No problem. You warned me.
Dangerous thing about the radio, indeed. Let's back up a minute, though, and let our listeners catch up on, and then we'll carry it from there. Go ahead, please.
Okay. You asked whether or not the credits were linked to investment.
I did.
And I was using Prudhoe Bay as an example. So before Senate Bill 21, they were entitled to a credit equal to 20% of their actual investment in Prudhoe. So in 2018, they spent $202 million in capital investment in Prudhoe. So they would have gotten a $40 million credit for that year as a result of that $200 million of capital spending in Prudhoe Bay. Under Senate Bill 21 in 2018, what they actually got was $8 per revenue barrel produced, which was $744 million. So we gave away $750 million under Senate Bill 21, completely unrelated to investment in Prudhoe. And what's happened to investment in Prudhoe is it's dropped from over $800 million before Senate Bill 21 down to about $200 million today. And we're giving away $750 million in credits for oil that would be produced anyway. The only credits that have been linked to investment under Senate Bill 21 are the cashable credits for new producers that don't have production, and they eliminated that program. So the only people that needed credits, they got cut off. The big oil threw small oil under the bus and eliminated all their cashable credits. So the independent out there drilling for new oil doesn't get any credits anymore until he begins production. In the meanwhile, at Prudhoe Bay, they're taking $750 million in completely unnecessary credits every year, completely unrelated to investment.
Right. But what, so answer this question, what drives those credits? I get it that it's not Prudhoe Bay investment. You made that point very, very well. But what about investment that's not Prudhoe Bay? Is it fair to say there is investment that is not in Prudhoe Bay that Prudhoe Bay is profiting off of? That's not accurate.
You don't plant a dollar to grow a nickel. And we're giving away $1 billion a year and getting nothing for it. And a hope and a prayer that someone may choose to invest in some other program isn't good tax policy. So let me just focus on the individuals. Probably ConocoPhillips. They're building out NPRA, so they're probably the best example of someone who's investing in Alaska. So since Senate Bill 21 has been in effect, ConocoPhillips has made, Dwayne, what percentage of ConocoPhillips' worldwide net income do you think came from Alaska since Senate Bill 21 passed?
Well, since they're considered Alaska's oil company, I'm going to say a lot.
70%.
Okay, that qualifies as a lot to me.
Yes, 70% of ConocoPhillips' net income worldwide since Senate Bill 21 has come from Alaska.
Okay.
How much of their capital spending do you think of their total capital spending budget in that same period of time you think they spent in Alaska?
I don't know the answer to that.
15%.
Okay. What does that tell me?
Well, ConocoPhillips, it tells you we're a cash cow for other projects around the world. It tells you that they're investing, they invest five times the amount of capital outside of Alaska for every dollar that they make compared to Alaska. And Exxon and BP is leaving Alaska, and we're still giving them their third share of the $750 million in Prudhoe Bay credits.
I understand as of midnight, BP has left the state.
Well, yeah, and the same with Exxon. Exxon's not investing money in Alaska. So when we talk about investment, we gave up $1 billion a year. And what we got for it was less the last four years, less investment on a real or nominal basis than's ever been spent on the North Slope of Alaska. We're not getting investment for our money. We're giving it away. And what the 70% of net income from Alaska and the 15% of capital invested back in Alaska means is that they're spending their money, they're making their money in Alaska, and they're spending it someplace else. And if you take a look at their dividend programs, you take a look at their stock repurchase programs, I mean, it's been a renaissance for the oil companies in Senate Bill 21.
We're going to talk about dividends in a minute. I want to get to Jane, though, who's been patiently holding. Jane, good morning. Go ahead with your question to Robin Brenna, please.
Good morning. My question has to do with jobs. Some people say that the Fair Share Act is a job killer, and I just want to know what the Fair Share Act will do for increasing jobs in Alaska.
Very good question. We care about jobs around here, that's for sure. Robin Brenna, what would you say to Jane? How does voting yes on Alaska's fair share bode for jobs?
Well, let me preface the question by saying that what's happened under jobs under Senate Bill 21 is we've lost 5,500 oil and gas jobs. And we've lost 15,500 Alaskan jobs. We have Alaskans leaving Alaska because they can't afford to stay here anymore. And this was before the pandemic, Dwayne, before the pandemic. I'm not blaming the pandemic on Senate Bill 21. So what the difference is do you leave $1 billion in our economy or do you let it leave?
All right. We're going to hold that because I want to talk about that $1 billion, and I want to hear from you as well at 283-5811 when we come back to KSRM Sound Off. Welcome back to KSRM Sound Off, 1045. Our special guest with us today, Robin Brenna. We're talking about Alaska's fair share. There are at least two other groups that are on the other side of this question, One Alaska and Keep Alaska Competitive. We will extend invitations to both of those groups as well. KSRM has a written policy for campaigning, and as we dive farther and farther into the actual campaign season, I love it. I absolutely love it. Thanks for letting me be a part of your mornings. Don't forget tonight at 5 o'clock right here on KSRM. Governor Mike Dunleavy joining us live on the air right after the bird's eye view. 283-5811. Robin Brenna, let's talk about $1 billion. You've used the phrase leaving it on the table a couple of times. What does that mean?
Well, let me answer that and finish answering Jane's question both. $1 billion is what the Fair Share Act, it will allow Alaskans to keep $1 billion more of our own oil wealth. It's a fair amount. It would be less than the average amount that we've collected under our production taxes for the last three decades before Senate Bill 21. It shouldn't have a negative impact on investment in Alaska at all. But $1 billion in our economy instead of leaving Alaska is huge. Now, Dwayne, let me put it this way. $1 billion staying here for sure, instead of a hope and a prayer that they may that a few companies may invest a few extra dollars. Okay, it's not even close about what the financial impact is going to be on jobs. $1 billion more in our economy is going to have a multiplier effect in our economy of probably 5 or 6 to 1. So that's going to impact, that's going to allow Alaska. Let me put it this way. Dwayne, if we gave $1 billion to you, if we gave and said, Dwayne, all you have to do is go out and hand out $100,000 per year checks to the first 10,000 Alaskans that you see under the condition that they'll spend it in Alaska, we would have 10,000 people making $100,000 a year, which is more than the entire oil industry employs. And the multiplier effect of 5 to 1 would make it about a $5 billion impact on our economy. And we would be, even without the multiplier effect, 10,000 people and an extra $1 billion in our economy, Alaska would be booming right now instead of suffering in the way that it is because we're giving away our oil.
Hang on. I got to insert a side note here.
Okay.
Side note, we are hours away from 690 million. Which is 69% of $1 billion, of Alaska doing just that very thing. $992 will be magically deposited into your bank accounts in about 13 hours from now. So the fact of the matter is, $1 billion, $1 billion, is it going to go to permanent fund dividends? One of your great supporters via the Facebook this morning posted, that's exactly what should happen.
Well, Clem Tilliam, who of course is the chair of Save Our Permanent Fund, he supports the Fair Share Act. Anybody that knows how Alaska works knows that if we give away our oil and we don't get a fair share for it, the dividends cannot survive. We've already spent $16 billion in our savings. Any additional savings we spend comes out of the fund that pays for dividends. So from here on out, we're cannibalizing our dividends. If we get nothing in dividends next year, nothing in dividends at all, we have a $500 million deficit. So anybody out there that cares about the permanent fund or the dividend has to support the Fair Share Act, because without getting a fair share of our oil, the permanent fund is at risk, and our dividends, it's only a matter of time before they're gone entirely.
That is definitely an interesting prognosis, and especially coming on the day of a dividend deposit. Well, tomorrow, actually. Mr. Brenna, let me just ask you a personal question. Everybody else, turn your radios off for just a second. Turn your radios off. I want to just ask him a question personally. Is that what this is about? Is this just about growing a permanent fund dividend check? Or is that really what the deal is? Just between you and me. Nobody else.
What the deal really is about is Alaskans not getting ripped off, that not having major oil drill in Juneau instead of on the North Slope.
Nice!
It's about having our legislators stand up for Alaska and fulfill their constitutional duty to optimize and maximize the value of our resources rather than give them away to international companies.
All right, everybody, turn your radios back on because he said something. Give me that drill comment again. That was an awesome comment.
Oh, It's time for big oil to quit drilling in Juneau and start drilling in the North Slope. They're spending all their time making all their money drilling in Juneau successfully. You know, our greatest leaders in Alaska, Republican Jay Hammond, Palin got 38% of the gross when she was the governor. We're getting 12.5%. We're getting less than a third of what Governor Palin got.
Are you advocating for Sarah Palin to be back as governor?
Well, she did a damn good job as governor, in my opinion. Jay Hammond said the original deal was a third, a third, and a third. We were supposed to get a third of the revenues. We're getting 12.5%. We're getting less than half of what supposed to be getting as Alaskans, because we've been persuaded that taking less for our oil is better for Alaskans. And I'm here to tell you that Alaska is built on its resources. The permanent fund exists because of our fair share on resources. We have a dividend because of a fair share from our resources. And we gave up our fair share in Senate Bill 21, and Alaskans have to get it back for the future of Alaska.
Robin Brenn, I'm going to sneak in my last break. We've got a couple of callers that want to talk to you on KSRM. Welcome back to KSRM 1054. Just a couple of minutes left in the show. Let's get as many calls in as we can. George, my good friend, good morning and welcome. You're on the air with Robin Brenna. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Brennan. Thanks for coming on and telling the facts about SB 21. That's the problem that we have, so it needs to go away. And when it passed, we went from 15,000 jobs to 9,500 jobs. That's a big loss. They didn't own up to anything they were going to do. No more production, no more employment. And, Dwayne, you're talking about our dividend. Our dividend should be $3,000, not $900 damn. And it's a ripoff. And our legislators, our lawmakers, is letting this happen.
We agree on the fact that they are not following their own statutory laws, George. We agree 100% on that, friend.
So we need to throw that out. Tell the legislators to stand up, like Mr. Brenner said, and do the job for the people, not the oil companies. They're being bought and paid for.
George, good comments. Thanks for the call. 283-5811. Mr. Brenner, any comment to George's support of your program?
Yeah. Thank you, George. I appreciate your comments, and I think you have it spot on. Let me say that let's look at our choices here, okay? I think this ultimately boils down to choices. Everything seems to, ultimately. So Alaskans' choice are we can lose our dividend, we can start to tax ourselves with income taxes and sales taxes, or we can get in order, or we can get a fair share for our oil. So this basically boils down to Alaska, are you willing to lose your dividend and start paying income taxes so that Exxon and BP and Hillcorp can make billions more in subsidies out of fields that don't require any subsidy at all? Is Alaska gonna go broke trying to support big oil's tax subsidies that are completely unnecessary and excessive? Or are we going to get a fair share and put Alaska back on track? It makes no sense to me at all to give away our oil and ask ourselves to get the revenue back, to give away our oil to Exxon and BP in order to tax ourselves to make up the difference that we're giving away. We have to get our fair share from our oil to make Alaska work. That's been true since statehood. It's still true today. So Alaskans, your choice is that you want to give up your dividend, your education, the quality of life and educate your quality of life in Alaska, the university system, our ferry systems that don't even work anymore. You want to give that all up so that ConocoPhillips, Exxon, and BP can pay more dividends to their shareholders. The best thing to do is to get our fair share, make it fair for everybody. And like I said before, we're not even asking for as much as we've averaged for three decades before Senate Bill 21. We're not even close. We're not even up to our original deal of a third. We're just asking for $1 billion more for Alaskans to stay in Alaska and help Alaskans, and that's what we need to do. And Alaskans need to stand up and not be BS'd by tens of millions of dollars in a slick campaign where the big oil hides behind small businesses and say that somehow small business in Alaska will be better off if we keep giving Exxon our oil. It's not true, and it's ridiculous.
Phil, go real, real quick, please.
Comment, question. During the earlier commercial break, we heard Captain Bob and Seward can't go fishing on his charter because we're in recession and broke. He's voting no. The 2014 referendum, 52-48%. The 52 spent $18 million in ads. 48%, $1 million ads. Current APOC reports, vote no. 99% out-of-state contribution, vote yes for the fair share, 100% in-state contribution, including the registered voter. Other than voting, how can we help the cause, and what would you say to Captain Bob, Willow Campground Dude, and Brewery Boy voting no because we, the people, are broke?
Mr. Brennan, you've got 60 seconds to wrap 100% of that up. Go, please.
Okay. Vote yes for Alaska's fair share. We need your help. We need your donations. We're being outspent by money coming in from Alaska trying to convince us we're better off taking less for our oil so they can take more of our wealth and leave Alaska with it. These small businesses that they have stepping up, I mean, it just strikes me as ironic that Exxon's paying for that ad for Captain Bob out of Valdez. If you want to improve the economy of Alaska, we have to keep more of our oil wealth in Alaska. That's what's going to help the small businesses in Alaska. Giving our oil wealth away to Exxon and BP is not going to help small business in Alaska. The sooner we stop it, the better off small businesses in Alaska are going to be. And Alaskans should be insulted by big oil getting small businessmen to stand up there and speak that tripe.
Robin Brenna, thank you so much. Your website is AlaskansFairShare.com. Well, I have a feeling we're going to hear from you again. Thank you so much. Robin Brenna with Alaskans Fair Share. This is the one, KSRM, Soldatnik, Kenai, Homer.